Dear friends, I am pleased to have this occasion to meet with you today. I thank Bishop Skluba for his words of welcome, and I cordially greet all those in attendance representing various religions in the United States of America. Several of you kindly accepted the invitation to compose the reflections contained in today's program. For thoughtful words on how each of your traditions bears witness to peace, I am particularly grateful. Thank you all. This country has a long history of cooperation between different religions in many spheres of public life. Interreligious prayer services during the National Feast of Thanksgiving, joint initiatives in charitable activities, a shared voice on important public issues. These are some ways in which members of different religions come together to enhance mutual understanding and promote the common good. I encourage all religious groups in America to persevere in their collaboration and thus enrich public life with the spiritual values that motivate your action in the world. The place where we are now gathered was founded specifically for promoting this type of collaboration. Indeed, the Pope John Paul II Cultural Center seeks to offer a Christian voice to the human search for meaning and purpose in life in a world of varied religious, ethnic, and cultural communities. This institution reminds us of this nation's conviction that all people should be free to pursue happiness in a way consonant with their nature as creatures endowed with reason and free will. Americans have always valued the ability to worship freely and in accordance with their conscience. Alexis de Tocqueville, the French historian and observer of American affairs, was fascinated with this aspect of the nation. He remarked that this is a country in which religion and freedom are intimately linked in contributing to a stable democracy that fosters social virtues and participation in the communal life of all its citizens. In urban areas, it is common for individuals from different cultural backgrounds and religions to engage with one another daily in commercial, social, and educational settings. Today, in classrooms throughout the country, young Christians, Jews, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, and indeed children of all religions sit side by side, learning with one another and from one another. This diversity gives rise to new challenges that spark a deeper reflection on the core principles of a democratic society. May others take heart from your experience, realizing that a united society can indeed arise from a plurality of peoples, e pluribus unum, out of many one, provided that all recognize religious liberty as a basic civil right. The task of upholding religious freedom is never completed. New situations and challenges invite citizens and leaders to reflect on how their decisions respect this basic human right. Protecting religious freedom within the rule of law does not guarantee that peoples, particularly minorities, will be spared from unjust forms of discrimination and prejudice. This requires constant effort on the part of all members of society to ensure that citizens are afforded the opportunity to worship peaceably and to pass on the religious heritage to their children. The transmission of religious traditions to succeeding generations not only helps to preserve a heritage, it also sustains and nourishes the surrounding culture in the present day. The same holds true for dialogue between religions. Both the participants and society are enriched. As we grow in understanding of one another, we see that we share an esteem for ethical values discernible to human reason which are revered by all peoples of goodwill. So the world begs for a common witness to these values. I therefore invite all religious people to view dialogue not only as a means of enhancing mutual understanding, but also as a way of serving society at large. By bearing witness to those moral truths which they hold in common with all men and women of goodwill, religious groups will exert a positive influence on the wider culture and inspire neighbors, co-workers, and fellow citizens to join the task of strengthening the ties of solidarity. In the words of President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, no greater thing could come to our land today than a revival of the spirit of faith. A concrete example of the contribution religious communities make to civil society is faith-based schools. These institutions enrich children both intellectually and spiritually, led by their teachers to discover the divinely bestowed dignity of each human being. Young people learn to respect the beliefs and practices of others, thus enhancing a nation's civic life. What an enormous responsibility religious leaders have to imbue society with a profound awe and respect for human life and freedom, to ensure that human dignity is recognized and cherished, to facilitate peace and justice, to teach children what is right, good, and reasonable. There's a further point I wish to touch upon here. I have noticed a growing interest among governments to sponsor programs intended to promote interreligious and intercultural dialogue. These are praiseworthy initiatives. At the same time, religious freedom, interreligious dialogue, and faith-based education aim at something more than a consensus regarding ways to implement practical strategies for advancing peace. The broader purpose of dialogue is to discover the truth. What is the origin and destiny of mankind? What are good and evil? What awaits us at the end of our earthly existence? Only by addressing these deeper questions can we build a solid basis for the peace and security of the human family, for wherever and whenever men and women are enlightened by the splendor of truth, the natural it can never be erased from the human heart. Throughout history, men and women have striven to articulate their restlessness with this passing world. In the Judeo-Christian tradition, the Psalms are full of such expressions. My spirit is overwhelmed within me. Why are you cast down, my soul? Why groan within me? The response is always one of faith. Hope in God, I will praise him still, my Savior and my God. Spiritual leaders have a special duty, and we may say competence, to place the deeper questions at the forefront of human consciousness, to reawaken mankind to the mystery of human existence, and to make space in a frenetic world for reflection and prayer. Confronted with these deeper questions, minds in the call for peace, We must also listen attentively to the voice of truth. In this way, our dialogue will not stop at identifying a common set of values, but go on to prop their ultimate foundation. We have no reason to fear, for the truth unveils for us the essential relationship between the world and God. We are able to perceive that peace is a heavenly gift that calls us to conform human history to divine order. Here lies the truth of peace. As we have seen, since the higher goal of interreligious dialogue requires a clear exposition of our respective religious tenets. In this regard, colleges, universities, and study centers are important forums for a candid exchange of religious ideas. The Holy See, for its part, seeks to carry forward this important work through the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue, the Pontifical Institute for Arabic and Islamic Studies, and various pontifical universities. Dear friends, let our sincere dialogue and cooperation inspire all people to ponder the deeper questions of their origin and destiny. May the followers of all religions stand together in defending and promoting life and religious freedom everywhere. By giving ourselves generously to this sacred task, through dialogue and countless small acts of love, understanding and compassion, we can be instruments of peace for the whole human family. Peace upon all you.